It's a pretty serious scripture, isn't it? Talking about being ready. And I think that's what Advent is all about. I've given this morning's message an interesting title, What is Advent Anyway? Because I think it's important that we address that this morning. Today marks a very significant day in the life of the church. In fact, people are celebrating this all over the entire world, this first Sunday of Advent. And unlike the secular world, where we celebrate the new year on January 1st, actually today, the first Sunday of Advent, is the first day of the new year in the calendar of the church. And so I say Happy New Year to all of you. And I'll say it again a few Sundays from now, the secular new year. But today is the Christian new year. We begin this whole new year in the life of the church. And therefore, I think the title of my message this morning is very relevant. What is Advent anyway? It's an interesting question, and I think it bears response. Because I'll tell you the truth, when I was a kid growing up, many times I was celebrating things that I had no clue what they were. And so I think it's always helpful that we understand why we light the wreath, the candle, I should say, why we celebrate this, why we change colors when it comes to the paraments, why is it purple or blue today as opposed to green or white or some other color. Now, I know the secular world uses this season for a different reason. It uses this season to start not a new day in the church or a new year in the life of the church, but a shopping frenzy. Oh, my goodness, like Black Friday. Now, I have to confess, and it's hard for me to do this, I hate shopping, okay? Let's get that on the table.
Amen!
Yes. But, Brother Bob, I don't know why I did this. I think the devil got in me. I actually went to the outlets with my wife on Black Friday. Lord have mercy. And I am still recovering. The only good thing is when we got home, we had shopped for all of our 8 grandkids. So I will lose less hair this holiday than I did the last one. But, you know, Black Friday and what the world tries to promote, the onset of this season brings us into this season of anxiety and strife and exhaustion as opposed to peace, joy, and expectation. And I pray that as we begin this season, that you would take a deep breath and try to take in this season rather than just being on your treadmill going 100 miles an hour until Christmas Day. Because the frenzy of shopping and all that craziness is not the true reason for the season. That's not what it's about. So where do we get this word Advent from? We get it actually from the Latin, which is Aventus, which means arrival or to come. That's what Advent means. And it means arrival or come. But we have to put a theological significance to that word, or we could be talking about the arrival of a package delivered by FedEx or UPS or Santa Claus. Or we could be talking about the arrival of the Long Island Railroad train at the Patchogue Station. Now, but I tell you what, this morning, the Adventist that we're talking about has a very deep theological significance attached to it. And by the way, I have to admit, I love feedback from the congregation. I love that. Because it charges me up a little bit, because it means you're listening. But I can tell you this, that the Advent we're talking about has to do with the preparation of the arrival of something, and better yet, not something, but the arrival of someone. And that arrival, of course, is the arrival of Christ, Jesus, the Lord. So today marks the countdown of the anticipation of his first coming as a babe in a manger in a little town of Bethlehem. And it's hard to believe that my wife and I just about 10 days ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, we were actually in Bethlehem, in the very town where Jesus was born. And it was very exciting to be back there again. And so it's that anticipation of preparation to celebrate once again how Christ, how God came into the world in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, and then taking that spirit and doing some self-reflection and expectation and anticipation of his second coming. And that was the passage that Trudy read a little while ago, that he will come again as a triumphant king. And so we have the past and we have the future all locked in, tied into this season of Advent. And that's why in a little while we're going to sing Andre Crouch's song, Soon and Very Soon We're Going to See the King, Hallelujah, because he's coming back. So this season has us multitasking. How many people are good multitaskers? Okay, there's about five of us in the church right now. I'm not one of them, by the way. Five of you, as I grew up in Brooklyn, so five of you's guys are multitaskers. And this season has us multitasking, worshiping, celebrating the past, the present, and the future. It's a season when we remember when Christ first broke into the world in the form of a baby in a manger, and how he continues to walk with us even to this day, Emmanuel, God is with us in Christ. And then it also has us anticipating the triumphant return of King Jesus. What he did, what he's doing, and what he will do in the future. And just as those who were waiting for his first coming at the end of the first century BC, we too wait for his second coming at the beginning of the 21st century AD. And so you could see there's some parallels that run very strongly through Scripture to help us get a handle on why we celebrate Advent, why we light a candle, why we change the colors of the paraments, why we sing the songs that we sing during this season. Now, if you go into Scripture, the prophets, Malachi, Jeremiah, the prophet Isaiah, all pointed to the advent of the coming of the Messiah. That was their great hope. The word Messiah, by the way, was Hellenized by the Greek influence in Israel, because the real word in the Hebrew is Mashiach. It comes from the Hebrew word Masa, and it means to anoint or to smear oil. And if you read the Holy Scriptures in the Hebrew Scriptures, you'll remember when David was anointed king, or Saul, or any figure like that, they were anointed with oil to receive the anointing of kingship over the people of Israel. It referred to a king or a ruler. And so when we think of Messiah or Mashiach, we think of a king. But in later Judaism, the term Messiah not only pointed to a king or a ruler in an earthly sense, but now it took on a much more theological significance. Because you have to look at the history of Israel to truly appreciate what I'm sharing with you this morning. After David, who, by the way, was a great king, having just come back from Israel, the Star of David is on the national flag. He is revered and should be. He was a great king. Israel began to hope for another great king after David had passed away. They wanted a king who could maintain the power and the prestige and the security of Israel. And by the way, having just come back from Israel, pray for Israel, please. We're commanded to do that by Scripture. This little strip of land in the middle of the Middle East, surrounded by so much hostility, I pray that we would continue to pray for Israel. But we know from the history reported in the Old Testament, after David passed away, his son Solomon took over, and things started to deteriorate in the leadership of that nation. In fact, they eventually became two nations in one, Judah and Israel. And we know through the scriptures that both would fall, both would be taken into captivity and exile, and their future was very uncertain. And so the people of Israel, through the prophets, knew that God had promised them a Savior, that God would not leave them in exile, that God would not leave them prisoners. And so they prayed, as they heard from the prophets, that a Savior would be sent. And so they lived with this messianic expectation and hope that one day, soon and very soon, justice would prevail. Peace would be realized in the land again. God's kingdom would be established forever. And the prophets were right about that first coming. And they're also right about his second coming as well. So Advent prepares us to celebrate the first coming, as I said, the birth of Jesus as a babe in a manger in a little town called Bethlehem, the house of bread. And it also fills us with that expectation that one day he will return. And there's beautiful symbols all around us to help prepare us to celebrate this great season. And one of them is that Advent wreath. I love when the Advent wreath comes out every year. It's a signal about something. It stirs something inside of me that I need to go deeper in my walk. I need to go deeper in my faith. I need to read the stories again. I need to pray more fervently in anticipation of your coming again, Lord. And so every year, Lenny, she goes and she takes out that Advent wreath and she puts it there. And we keep it there for 4 Sundays in the season of Advent. And then on Christmas Eve, we light the center candle, the Christ candle. And all of it just symbolizes so many things that helps us celebrate this season. Now, don't get me wrong. We don't worship the Advent wreath, okay? So I don't want anybody coming up here and bowing down to the Advent wreath. It's there to help us to celebrate. It connects us with the true reason for the season. So when I look at the Advent wreath, I wrote down a few things that I'd like to share with you in closing. If you notice, the Advent wreath is circular, and there's no break in that ring of green. And what that unbrokenness symbolizes, it symbolizes the unbrokenness of the love that God gives us each and every day. It never breaks, it never fails, it never leaves us. Amen. God never breaks his promises, and we're connected to him in an unbroken way. In fact, a wedding band is very similar to that. We talk about that when couples are exchanging their vows, when they're getting married, that the wedding band represents the unbrokenness of their relationship. So when you look at that green wreath, it reminds us that our love with God is unbroken. And the wreath is green for a purpose, because it symbolizes hope and newness and life. Those are evergreens. They're vibrant and they live no matter what season we're in. I have these beautiful evergreens lining the entranceway to our property where we live. And I don't care if it's snowing or it's cold or it's 100 degrees outside. Those evergreens are vibrant and they're green. They're evergreen. And so this reminds us that we have life with God, not just in this life, but in the life to come for eternity. And then the candles are purple. And I don't know if you knew this, but purple represents royalty. And so purple reminds us of the kingship of Jesus Christ, that he's not just a king, but he's the King of Kings, and he's to be worshipped forever. And then the candles themselves, they represent something. Janet read something about hope, and the candles traditionally represent hope, peace, joy, and love. That's what the 4 outer candles represent: hope, peace, joy, and love. So when that hope candle was lit, it reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you something, apart from him, I don't think we have any hope. And so therefore, the hope candle was lit this morning. And of course, we're talking about the Prince of Peace. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." I don't know about you, but I get my peace from him. I could be in the middle of a storm, and as long as I could cry out to him, miraculously, peace will fall upon me and allow me to get through that storm. And so that second candle represents peace, the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, not as the world gives, but only as he can give. And then the third candle is the joy candle. And folks, sometimes we have to remind our face to be joyful. Now, many of you know I was a cop, right, before I became a minister. And so sometimes my wife says, "For crying out loud, you still look like a cop." And we'll go on vacations and people will say, "Are you a cop?" I said, "No, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor." Joy. It's that pink candle there. Some people call it the Mary candle. And there are numerous passages in Scripture that says for those who are in Christ should be joyful. In fact, it says unspeakable joy we should have. Joy, that's the joy candle. And then the fourth candle is the love candle. It reminds us of the love that God gave us. In fact, if you read John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Have eternal life. Not even death could separate us from his love. Advent reminds us that we walk in God's love. It's his gift to us, and we are to share it with others. And then lastly, the center candle, we'll light that on Christmas Eve. That is the Christ candle. And that's the central location, and it's right where it belongs. It's higher, and it's right in the middle. And that tells us that Christ should not only be the center of this season, but Christ should be the very center and core of our lives. He should take first place in our life. He should be seated on the throne of our hearts. First and foremost, before even our families, our job, our possessions, our relationships. Because let me tell you why. I had someone tell me after a sermon one time, "How can we put anyone or anything before our family?" I'll tell you why. Because if you make Christ first in your life, your family will become most important. Because that's what he wants. So he's the center of our lives, and he's the center of the reason for the season. So as we go through these four Sundays in Advent, we need to keep him paramount and at the center of everything we do. So as we slowly enter into this four-week season of Advent, and by the way, it's just a blip. I wish the church had made it like 16 weeks. It's only four. It's a blip on the church's radar screen. We need to take the time to appreciate and to reflect upon its deeper meaning and how that reflection should impact our daily lives as we bear witness to the world, the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love that Christ gives us, and then share that with others whom we meet. God's doing a new thing in us, folks. And God's doing a new thing in this church. Amen? And God's doing a new thing in our world. And I pray that this season will remind us to walk in it. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for Advent. Thank you for Adventus, the coming, the arrival of your Son, Jesus Christ. We'll celebrate that in a few weeks, but also the promise of your second coming, when you will reign on earth and in heaven for eternity. Lord, help us to slow our engines down during this season. Yes, we'll shop. Yes, we'll prepare dinners. Yes, the excitement of Christmas, we don't want to lose that either. But keep reminding us that the season is more than just that. It's about celebrating your first coming and anticipating your second. Keep us centered on that reason, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.